So this evening, I want to speak on where does your relationship with Jesus fall? And I know this is the Wednesday night group, and we're kind of preaching to the choir here. But I still think it's something we should all think about. So I know you trust God, but is your faith placed in him? So I have this image I asked him to show. There it is. So it's a child jumping off a haystack into their father's arms. And really, honestly, that's nothing special with all the farmers around here because most of us have probably played in hay at some point in time. But that is until you actually stop and think about it. Because over in Matthew 18, 2 through 4, it says, Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So here Jesus is specifically talking about our relationship with God. And if we think about it, there's really three qualities he's kind of referring to here. It's humility, faith, and trust. Tonight we're kind of going to focus on the last two of faith and trust. Because we often kind of get those confused and mixed up, and sometimes we use those terms interchangeably when really they actually have different meanings. So I'm kind of going to divert just a little bit right here for a second. Because with all that being said, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things away. So what Paul is saying is to not act childish. Don't do things as a child would do them. God has given us the ability to learn and to grow. And so we don't get ourselves in the sticky situations as like a child would do, and because they don't know any better. So what Jesus was really telling us was not so much to regress or abandon maturity or rationality or discernment, but to rather draw deeper within ourselves, closer to that inner born sinner, which is to say closer to God, since he's the one that formed us in our mother's womb. That's why, if you think about it, children are so innocent. Can you remember back to when you were little, or maybe it's a little easier if you think of another child, you know? Young children are so trusting. Most of the time, children don't hesitate to run and jump to their parents or someone they know because there's no concept in their mind that their parent or the trusted person won't catch them. Just like the child in the image, they never gave any thought as to whether or not dad was going to catch them or not. They are open and vulnerable. Children risk without fear, especially in areas of relationships. That's why you have to teach children to not talk to strangers, because they don't know, they can't trust everyone the same. So here's kind of where we're going to start getting into the difference of faith over trust. Trust builds the relationship, like the foundation. But faith, that's where the power comes from. Faith gives you the power to not only trust in God's word, but to believe what he says is true and that it will come to pass. This is because in the same way that repentance is granted by God, faith is also a supernatural gift of God. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 talks about this, where it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Also over in Romans 12, 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to anyone who is among you, not to think of him more highly than he ought to think, but to do it soberly, as God has dealt it to each a measure of faith. So, our gift of salvation is faith. But even that is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Faith is nothing that we do in our own power or by our own works, because we are flesh and bone, and we really don't have the strength or the power to do that. And really, God wouldn't want us to do it and rely on ourselves, even if we had that kind of power. Otherwise, salvation would be in part our own works and deeds, and that would be grounds to be boastful. So what Paul is saying in Ephesians 2 and 8 is that faith does not come from us apart from God's giving it. Human effort has nothing to do with faith. Again, the Bible talks about faith being a gift from the Father. Over in Acts 3:16, it says, "And his name, though faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes from him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." We also know from God's word over in Matthew 17:20, it says, Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So what we see there is the faith, the size of a mustard seed, can and will do any more than any amount of willpower or determination can do. That's the faith that Jesus talked about that has power, and with that power comes miraculous works. Trying to say otherwise is like trying to say the sun can't shine without light and heat. And as we know, it's quite warm outside. But more often than that, people confuse their ability to believe for faith. And as we know, faith is a gift from God that only God can give. Faith is not a condition of the mind, but is a divinely given gift to the heart. God draws us as sinners to Christ and then gives us the ability to believe. Because without that divinely given faith, no one can understand and come to the Savior. Over in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." This is exactly why when Peter affirmed with his faith that Jesus is the Son of God, in Matthew 16:17, where Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So faith is graciously given to believers by God. Catherine Kuhlman said this, "There is belief in faith, but faith is more than belief. Faith is a gift. Jesus is our faith. And the giver of every good and perfect gift is the author and finishers of our faith. Active faith is unquestioning belief, trust, and reliance upon God with all confidence. Faith can become as real as one of our senses. When you receive his faith, we will also receive understanding," just like Peter. "Everything that God has for his children, he puts within the reach of faith. Then he turns around and gives them the faith to appropriate the gifts." So then, as a divine gift, faith is neither temporary nor ineffective. It has power, and that means it won't end or run out. The faith God gives can never leave you. In Philippians 1:6, Paul wrote, being confident of this very thing, that he has begun to a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, it was August 23rd of last year, and I was getting ready for work. And I kept thinking about the day before. So, I had to write all this down then, because I'd never remembered all this now. I had a partial impaction in my esophagus. And for those of you that don't know, I had something stuck in my swallow pipe, not my breathing pipe. So I was wondering why the Lord would let me go through this again. And I know he performed a healing in me when my esophagus tore last time. But why did I keep dealing with this? So, just a little bit of a backstory. growing up, I dealt with food getting lodged in my esophagus all the time. And I was diagnosed with, sorry, Dr. Mark, if I mispronounce this, eosinophilic esophagitis, or something like that, which is a fancy way of saying I had allergies in my esophagus. And allergies are not supposed to be in your esophagus. And when they would flare up, I'd have a hard time swallowing, and sometimes things would get stuck. Sometimes they would get stuck so bad that I'd have to have a scope to remove them. And the last time that happened, my esophagus tore down the very bottom right before my stomach. By the time I got the x-ray at Ruby, because they had to transfer me from Garrett to Ruby, a tissue wall had already formed, blocking off the tear, keeping stuff from going into my chest cavity, which is bad. And that had to be God, because for that tissue wall to form that fast, the doctors were so surprised. Okay, now we're going back to the 23rd. So I was standing there talking to the Lord, and I kept asking, why is it so hard for me to hear him sometimes? I just wanted to know that he hears me and is with me. And that's when I heard him say, sometimes you have to stand up and face the darkness. So I refused to say what was happening the day before, because I honestly believe that there's power in the tongue. And you can speak things into existence. But let's be honest, I was also pretty scared. I didn't want to have to go through all that again. So I refused to say what was happening. It was partially stuck. I just thought, I'm going to ignore it and it'll go away. That was until we went to see the doctor. Because at the time, Bailey was pregnant with Thatcher and we had an ultrasound that day. Coincidence, I guess. That is, had to be God. Because we went there and while we were there, Bailey made me explain it to the doctor. Because we're good friends with this doctor. And at that moment, I finally had to admit and say it out loud what was going on. The doctor then helped me and gave me some good advice, and I'll keep that advice the rest of my life. I learned some interesting things. And I honestly believe that once I stood up to it and faced what was going on, the Lord was then able to do the work he said he was going to do. Because I spoke it, he was able to perform the healing he promised. I mean, I was scared the whole time thinking that if I didn't acknowledge it, it would just go away and it couldn't be there to hurt me. But that's not always how God works. Sometimes you need to have the faith and stand up to the darkness and face the evil so that God can do the work in you. Sometimes you need to have faith like David to face the Goliath, or like Daniel in the lion's den, or like the three Hebrew boys in the furnace. You need to trust that God has your back so that he can do the work he promised he would do. Trust me, I know it's hard and I know it's scary. And we can't do everything on our own. That's why God has given us a spirit of peace and of love and of a sound mind. And through him, and through the faith that he gave us in him, we can do all things. There's power in the tongue. There's power in faith. And sometimes we must use that to acknowledge the enemy. Not to give the enemy any more strength, or to give him power over a situation, but to stand up and to show that we aren't afraid. That we have faith in he who is greater than us, than he who is in the world. Sometimes you have to acknowledge the darkness so that the light can cancel it. And then God can do the work he promised he would do. Faith empowers us to take action. And with that action comes change. And that step allows God to open the door for you to receive what he has for you.